welcome back to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. This is show number 3, and the first show in prime time tonight, this Wednesday, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you who are just joining me now. My next guest today is H. Terrell Griffin, who is a Florida writer. I love having Florida writers on, since I too live in Florida on the Southwest Coast. Terry Griffin is an award-winning and best-selling author of 11 Matt Royal mysteries, which is set on Florida's Gulf Coast, kind of a little bit north from where I live, and on the out island of Longboat Key. His new book is called Vindication, which is set in Orlando at a very well-known community called The Villages. Terry is a former, he has a history and a law degree. I'm assuming he's a former trial lawyer because in his bio it said he was a trial lawyer. He was also in the Army. He served as a medic. He and his wife divide their time between the East and the West Coast of Florida. I'm thrilled to have with me today, for the first time, but not my first book, with Terrell Griffin. Hi, Terry. Welcome to Authors on the Air, and thank you for being with me.
Well, thank you, Pam. I appreciate you having me.
How are you this fine day, sir?
Well, I'm doing fine, thanks. It's been a beautiful day in Florida, as you know, if you live here.
It has been a successful Valentine.
Yes.
It is a beautiful day. How long have you and your Valentine been together?
54 years.
Oh, good grief. Really? Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's older than most of the people in the state. So congratulations. How wonderful for you. Wow. You know, I think folks in your generation just stayed together. They worked through the issues, and that's why things last, right?
I think so. You got to, you know, it's not always easy, but when you love somebody, you can make it work.
There you go. I think that's absolutely right. Well, congratulations, and I hope you both enjoy your evening. Terry, this is not the first book I've written by you. Of course, your publisher is kind of set where some of your stories are, and they're right up the road from me. I'm in Fort Myers, so I get to see them often and around town and at various and miscellaneous book events. Congratulations on the new book, Vindication. You're getting terrific reviews for it. And this is book number 11 with Matt, is it? Is it number 11,
correct,
or am I doing that wrong? Yeah, you are prolific in your writing, Terry.
Well, Go ahead. I've written 12 books in 12 years, so that's about one a year. Which is about all I can handle. So, but I do enjoy it.
Well, I have to say that it's very, very rare when PW and Booklist give editorial reviews that are so glowing. Publishers Weekly says, a case of literary theft propels Griffin's appealing 11th outing for semi-retired Longboat Key, Florida lawyer Matt Royal. It's a well-plotted whodunit. And that it is, indeed. You've got editorial reviews from everybody, including Mike Conley, whom I've never seen blurb anything, Steve Barry, who's been wonderful, been a guest on this show, and D.P. Lyle and many others. Congratulations on the success of Vindication. I would imagine you're welcome. I would imagine that you take your stories from your former life as a trial attorney, is that true?
No, actually not.
You?
Well, I was a civil trial lawyer. I didn't try criminal cases. And one thing you find, though, is a courtroom is a courtroom, whether it's criminal or civil. So three of my books have courtroom scenes. Excuse me. And I found that pretty easy to write. It brings in some things that actually happened in the courtroom over a 38-year career of trying cases, placed them in a criminal setting rather than a civil setting. But the rest of it is strictly imagination. So my wife says it's a product of a sick mind. So maybe she's
well,
right.
That's true of all you thriller and mystery writers. Anybody who writes suspense, you know, when there's so obvious good and evil. Yes, I think all of you are kind of twisted. I'm sorry, but I'm happy about it. It makes for some delicious reading. Is it true, and I have heard this said before, and I'm anxious to find out if my brother, who is a corporate litigator, will ever want to write a book because he does love to read. Is it true that writing legal briefs helps you separate the chaff from the wheat, so to speak, when you're writing fiction? You kind of get to the facts, and you don't need a whole lot of flowery stuff.
Well, I've always felt like writing a mystery is similar to a trial in the sense that you have a lot of facts in a trial that you have to assimilate and then turn that into a story that you can tell to the jury to hopefully find your client's favor. Now, with writing a mystery novel, you're still assimilating facts, but you're making those facts up as you go. But the whole mm-hmm. idea is still to make it into a whole that makes for a good story that people are going to enjoy. So there's a similarity in that sense.
So rather than convincing a jury, you're convincing a reader of the story that you're telling.
That's right. The story has to be plausible. And I know all thrillers, including mine, sometimes are out on the very edge of plausibility, but you need to make them so that they're at least plausible. And I try to do that. I do a lot of research when I have run into things I don't know much about and try to make the book as realistic as it can be. But that's if the reader likes them, that means I've been successful in what I'm doing.
Well, there you are. And, of course, stretching the limits of plausibility is what makes it fiction. So that makes perfect sense to me. Tell me a little bit about you and what your aspirations were as a young man and perhaps even as a child. Did you know that you wanted to be a lawyer and or write books? Or maybe be a military man, all the things that you've done in your life?
No, actually, I was a big reader from the time I could understand the written word. And I always thought somewhere along the line, probably in high school, that I would really love to write. But I had a very busy law practice. So when I graduated from high school up in the central part of the state, just north of Orlando, I didn't have any money for college, so I went in the Army and spent most of that next 3 years overseas in Germany, which was a tremendous life-changing event for me. It turned me into a disciplined guy. And so when I got out and started college, I'd been a medic, and I could get a job in a hospital. I had the background to get a job and afford to go to college. And on the very first day of that job, I met the woman who I've been married to now for almost 54 years, but she was willing to buy into my dream. And so we went on and through college and law school. And then I came back to Orlando to practice and just never had the time to write. So when I retired, my wife said that I'd been talking about this since we were in college, and maybe what I ought to do is sit down and try to write a book. So that's exactly what I did and how the first book came to be. So it's been a delightful experience and kind of icing on the cake of my career.
How wonderful. What a great story. When you look back at 12 years ago when your first book was published and you fast forward to Vindication, what do you notice that's different about you and different about your writing style?
Well, I think like anything, you get better. The more you do something, the better you get at it. And I like to think that I have progressed in all the books, gotten better with the writing, kept the plots going, kept the story going. So I hope that I have. I hope that every book has been a little better than the last one. As you know, I've kept the same characters throughout. But these
yes.
This is a series, but it's not a serial, so that you can pick up any book and the books were all written as standalone books, so you can pick up anywhere. You don't have to read them all in order to get the sense of them. And I'm proud of being able to do that. I thought that as much as I love series, like talking about Mike Connelly, I love his books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't write serials. You know, you don't need to have read the previous book to understand what's going on in the book you're reading now. And so I've tried to emulate Mike a little bit on that.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites too, I have to say. I really enjoy his books. Are you continuing? Are you going to do this until you can't write anymore, Terry? Is it just so much fun?
That's my plan. I've had a good time doing it, and I certainly intend to write another book. I haven't gotten started. I've had some medical reverses, and I'm just kind of getting over everything. So I'm ready to start writing the next Matt Royal book, but haven't gotten it done yet.
Well, let's go back 12 books ago, and now you've got Matt Royal. Where did he come from?
Matt Royal is, in a sense, partially me, although I'm not as handsome or as I'm much more of a chicken than he is. It's he's the guy I would like to be in many respects. But the name actually came from a cousin of mine who was a helicopter pilot and was killed in Vietnam many years ago when we were both young guys. And I decided to use that name for the protagonist, and it kind of went from there. But Matt is a retired young as a lawyer and is not happy with the law practice, and I found that I wasn't either. For many years it was a great profession, and then it sort of started getting more and more into a business model, and I think we lost a lot of the professionalism. So my last few years in the practice, I was not nearly as pleased to be a lawyer as I had been early on. So I tried to imbue Matt with some of those same things. When Matt's complaining about the law practice, that's me talking. So it's but other than that, Matt is his own man.
Well, Matt is your mouthpiece, obviously, and that's great. And I want to read a quote to you that I actually posted on Facebook today, because it's so funny that you're talking about lawyers and everything. So I like to look for quotes from famous people and, you know, kind of play around with them a little bit. So I absolutely had to get one. Today's is from Abraham Lincoln, and he says, "Such litigation, persuade your neighbors to compromise whenever you can. As a peacemaker, the lawyer has superior opportunity of being a good man. There will be business enough." How do you like that?
Well,
kind
I like
funny,
that. And I subscribe to that. I think I told clients all the time, the only people that are going to enjoy a trial are the lawyers. And you don't want to go put yourself into that mess if you don't have to, if you can compromise and settle a case. And the great, in the civil side, the great percentage, probably 90% or so of the cases that are brought are actually settled before they get to trial.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's those, that's lawyers doing their job. And I like to see that. That's a vestige of the profession I fell in love with.
But it
and
has
lawyers,
changed a lot. Sure.
It has. It has. And I think trial lawyers are by nature problem solvers. And one of the problems we've run into is it's too easy to stretch out a trial or a case, putting off getting to trial and all of that because of
mm-hmm.
billable hours. So that it's hard to get to trial anymore,
right?
In part because of that, in part because of the courts are so crowded. But I've been out of it now for 12 years and don't miss it. But
I
really
bet.
Enjoyed the practice of law.
I bet.
I tried
amazing.
Tried some cases down in your area too, down in Fort Myers.
Oh, did you? I'm originally from Miami, so you can imagine. The cases we've seen down there, both on the criminal and the civil side, they're very, very interesting, to say the least. You know, you don't need much of an imagination. Just pick up the Miami Herald, and you've probably got inspiration for a story. Always knew you were going to write, and so you created Matt Royal. So let's talk about your writing and the actual process now, Terry. Do you find that you write books the way you wrote legal briefs and other such things? Do you sit by yourself, collect your thoughts, and put it all together? Do you have an author that you go to when you're writing your books? What is the actual physicality of writing a book for you?
Well, believe it or not, most of my books are written sitting in Starbucks.
How can anyone do that?
I don't know. I guess I have. My wife says I can tune anybody out. So, but
that might be
those years
of a lawyer. Those must be those 30-something years of lawyering. You've learned how to tune it out, right?
I guess so. Excuse me, but I'm not a disciplined writer. I write when the mood strikes me, and I enjoy getting down into it. And when I have to do research, I do that. Well, sometimes I do it sitting right in Starbucks, because you can find it all on the internet. But I do
Google
a lot
is
of
a lawyer. Google's a writer's best friend, isn't he, Terry?
Oh yes, without question.
So you don't mind all the cacophony around you. What do people think you're doing? Do you go to the same Starbucks all the time near you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a little interesting comment here the latest book. There are 11 baristas in my little local Maitland Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I used all 11 of them at names as characters in the book Vindication. So they're all in there, and they were excited about it, and I was excited for them. So that was
nice homage to the place that you write. That's a nice thing for you to do.
Well, they enjoyed it, and they're always so good to me. And we've got a little group of people that meet there in the afternoons. We call it the old guys in the corner, talking about nothing important. And that's kind of the group that we, it's kind of an eclectic group of all retired guys. And if I'm sitting there writing, they don't bother me. And when I want to talk, they're right there ready to talk. So it's, the way old retired guys do things these days.
I don't know. May I assume that you are a boater, as if you like Longboat Key? Because to live on the Gulf Coast, on the Keys, means you must be very attached to the water.
Oh, I am. We boated for years and years, and finally got rid of our last boat, which I named Last Boat 2, about 2 years ago. We just got to the point where it was more hassle than it was worth. Our kids weren't using it. Our grandkids were not big on the boating, so it was time to get out of boating. But we boated all over the place. I hold a Coast Guard 100-ton master's license, so I really took pains to learn everything I needed to learn before we got out in the open ocean and things of that nature.
I'm looking at your website, which is hcharlgriffin.com. I encourage listeners to go there.
That's a process. Somebody hacked that, Pam, and I haven't gotten it unhacked yet. We're working on
that.
Photos
are beautiful. From the old bridges and the boat basin and the dolphin and everything. So if you want to get an idea of what what the Gulf Coast of Florida looks like, by all means, take a look at Terry's website. It is quite lovely. Yes, I noticed that you have somebody hacked at putting movies inside there.
Yeah.
I watched that. But if you just disregard that and you go and look at the pictures, and some of your books are on there. So lovely. But so, Terry, you said you write one book a year. You finished this one is out. Have you started the next one yet?
I have not. I just haven't gotten myself into a position to start writing yet, Pam. But I do plan to do that in the near future. I just need to get my brain engaged again. I had some very serious surgery last year.
I'm
I had
so
a double
sorry.
Lung transplant. Well,
oh, good grief.
The double lung transplants kept me alive, but it's been a long haul recovering. So I have
just not gotten
into the writing.
That's
but
not a common
there.
Procedure, though, is it, Terry? That's very unusual.
Very unusual, yes. And it is a last resort kind of procedure. If I didn't have the lung transplant, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now.
Well,
so
thank God that you had it and that you're talking to me. I'm even deeply more honored that you took the time to speak to me. I won't tax you. I want to just ask you one or two other questions, if you don't mind, and then I'm going to let you go on your way. You know, 12 standalone stories with Matt Royal is quite an accomplishment because it is not serial writing, as you said. But when you sit down to start to write your next book or any book, how do you have ideas already bouncing around in the noggin? Do you have them written in a file someplace? I guess what I really want to know is, how do you know which idea will become the next Matt Royal book?
Yeah, I think you just got to sit down and write it. I have I come up with an idea, and often my buddies over at Starbucks have got ideas. In fact, for example, the story in Vindication has to do with starts off with a Miss Georgia pageant, and the mystery kind of revolves around that for a while, and that was because one of our guys at Starbucks is a longtime board member of the Miss Florida pageant, so he had
really?
All kinds of information that I never would have picked up on. I don't know how you'd research that because it's all in his brain, but he was a tremendous help in getting that story out. So I took off from there, and then I wanted to use the pageant because there was so much in there that I felt like could make a story. But then it takes place back in the 60s at the beginning of the book, and then it jumps mm-hmm. forward to the present day. So I've seen some reviews saying don't stop reading when you get to the first two or three chapters because it all makes sense. It comes out. So but that's the way these ideas pop up sometimes.
I like the fact that you're willing to admit that your buddies at Starbucks, the old guys club, actually give you some ideas, and that's really pretty cool. I like that a lot.
Well, they're a good guy, and they're not all guys. A couple of women involved in that too that are just delightful, and they all kind of keep me on track. The retired women that are, you know, they bring a different perspective to it. They and my wife, and that's so it's not really a collaborative process, but it has some parts of a collaboration, I guess, because
you allow for input from others, and that's nice.
Yes, I do. In fact, one of the main characters that shows up about halfway through the series is a police detective named J.D. Duncan,
right?
And she's Matt's love interest. Well, she was a figment of my wife's imagination. I had had finished the book and J.D. first shows up in, and my wife said, you know, I wasn't happy with it. She said, you know, part of the problem is you usually have a strong female character, and you don't in this one. And so she came up with the idea of this police detective, and I wrote the story and interspersed it throughout the book so that it read like a whole. And I gave the J.D., my wife's personality, and even her looks back when my wife was in her late 30s. So she doesn't own up to that, but that's the case. So ideas come from all over the place.
They sure do. They sure do. I want to ask you one other question, and then we're going to find out what's next for you. You mentioned your children. Are any of your children and maybe grandchildren, I'm assuming, creative like you are?
I have a 12-year-old granddaughter that is very creative. She's quite a writer in her own stead as a, you know, as a 12-year-old. I mean, she's not not a professional or anything, but she has a great imagination and has the ability to put it down on paper. I'm really proud of her. But none of the other boys ever picked up that whatever it is that makes writers write. But I've got three grown sons, and my grandchildren are 12 and 14. And they live about four blocks from us, so we see them all the time.
Oh, how wonderful.
Which is really nice. In fact, they're at our place right now in Longboat Key with their mom and dad.
Well, that's nice.
They love being over there.
I bet they do. It's hard not to love being on this coast. It really is.
It is.
H. Terrell Griffin, you're such a success, and I love the fact that you really pay homage to the state of Florida in so many different ways. I have to tell you that one of my favorite books of yours was Collateral Damage, and it's my understanding that that was one of your biggest or your best-selling books. From what I've heard, it was magnificent.
That was Amazon's number one overall bestseller for a couple of days.
Yep.
So that's my claim to fame there.
Well, listen, I think, you know, looking at the reviews for all of your books, I think your claim to fame is you write some really darn good books. And
well,
I'm honored
you.
That you've come on the show. And I wish you continued good health. And I'll be anxious to talk to you in a year to see what new Matt Royal story you've come up with. Will you be coming? Are you staying in the Maitland area, or will you be coming back to the coast?
Well, we live in Maitland, and
we spent
a lot of time over in Longboat, but we have a condo over there, so we spent great amounts of time once I retired. But I just haven't been able to do that lately because of this surgery. So when I get all recovered from it, we'll spend a lot more time over there. We used to spend a lot of time down in your area in Pine Island Sound when we were boating a lot.
Uh-huh.
That whole area, Captiva and Santa Bella.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is.
I decided to move here because of a vacation I went on to Captiva after I'm sure you're familiar with the Mucky Duck, the place in Captiva.
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, I went to the Mucky Duck in the 70s when it first opened. It was a little white shack on the sandy beach, no air conditioning, no nothing. You walked in barefoot, and Alfie was the bartender. As a matter of fact, I think that he owns the place now or is a co-owner, and some later relative after him must be the bartender now. It's a very fancy place now. I was very surprised to go back, but I love Captiva and Sanibel, and when I left Miami, that is the reason I decided to move here. Miami's a hard town to live in when you're older, you know, or normal.
Yeah. Well,
I wish you all the best health with you and continued great recovery. And will you please come back one day?
I'm sorry, will I what?
Will you please come back to the show one day?
Oh, I would love to. I would absolutely love to. So let me try to get this book written.
Get that book written and then let me know. And I'd love to have you come back, Terry. And continued good recovery and a happy Valentine's Day to you and your bride of 50-odd years. It's just amazing to me. And continued success to you. Thank you for being with me tonight.
Thank you for having me, Pam. Good night.
It's my pleasure, Terry. Good night. And that's the last of our three shows tonight on Wednesday. I'll be back next Wednesday. Oh, if I knew where my calendar was, I'd tell you who's coming. But I'll put it out there in the ether for you. Come back and visit me again. Thanks for being with me on Authors on the Air. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.